Hey, you're listening to the teaching portion of the Crossridge Women's study in the book of Revelation. This is part two from winter 2023. For more info about us and to access our resources, you can find us at crossridge.church/W study. Welcome to everyone who is here. It is so good to see you. Jen said, it's such a long break. It is. It feels like it's been a really long time. Well, because I guess that was the end of November. So we haven't been together for all of December. And then it's almost the end of January. So it is a long break. But it's good also. And maybe you are this excited to come back, because look at our room. You know, we lost a few of our women, had to go to study along because they are having babies or things like this. And so, but we gained so many new people. So welcome to those of you who have been with us for a long time, and welcome to the people who are new. We are so happy to have you, and we trust that it will be a really good experience here tonight, and you too, in 2 weeks, will be happy to come back. So, when I'm sitting and I'm prepping, I have all these, like, I envision how it's going to go. And I just want you to know that in December, as I was sort of like writing the study guide, and really, I shouldn't say December, I think it didn't happen until like last week or the week before. But as I was writing the study guide and I was thinking about the questions that we're going to be doing in our homework and talking about, and some of the things that we would talk about as we came together, I could just envision these really beautiful and worshipful moments. Where we like see God, and we hear the voice of God through the scripture, and that we are changed together. And I a few times, like, I would sort of sit at my computer and my kids were there, and they're like, Mom, are you okay? And I'd just be like crying because I could see you. And it was almost like God just put it on my heart, this vision of like how he was going to form us in through this book of the second part of Revelation. And I was really excited. But then when I was coming here tonight, I just thought, you know, we can't do it apart from his spirit. Like, we're powerless. I can have this, like, I envision it should go this way, but actually, unless the Lord builds the house, right, its builders work in vain. And so would you just pray with me tonight? And let's just turn our attention to the Lord and to his word. And just recognize who we are and who he is. So let's just pray. Father God, I do thank you for your goodness and your beauty and your sovereignty. You are King. And those are only a few of the things that we know from the first part of this book of Revelation. And we are eager to see and hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches in the second half. We do want to acknowledge that we are powerless to see, and we are powerless to hear apart from a moving of your Holy Spirit in us. So we just acknowledge that you are here. You are among the churches. You are among us in the middle, even tonight as we gather. So I pray now that you would turn our hearts and our minds, even our eyes and ears toward you, that you would just fill us, that you would speak, that we could set aside the utter insanity of our day, maybe lots of us, that we could be just here in your presence and just meeting with you, Lord. We thank you for all these women. I pray that you would grow us together in love and affection for each other, and mostly for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, we have a couple more people who are going to slide in, but we're just going to get started. I just wanted to say a few things. Everyone should have got their book. So you have it. I apologize. When I looked at, I just saw Rebecca had both books on the table, and I thought I made the word Revelation a different color. I thought it was gray before, and I made it black so that when I looked, I could grab the right book. And I definitely, they look identical, I think, don't they? So, but if you look at the very small print one of them says part two. So you should have your study guide. What we usually do when we come together is we like to, I like to sort of tell you what we do and how we do it a little bit, to sort of invite you to belong with us and to study alongside us. And it's not anything like crazy or strange, or lots of you who like to study your Bible, you've probably done lots of this before. And we're always doing it together. We're always learning. And the reason why I give this speech so much is because it changes. We actually learn new things about how we want to study. And then we say, oh, we need to do this more. And so we don't just like have this method that we've been doing for years and years either. So Lindsay, I did not expect to see you. Come in. But that's okay. You can come anytime you want, even if you're doing the study along. We'd love to have you. Okay, so if you open your book, the beginning of it looks pretty much the same as your old book. But if you open to page 3, this is where just a little bit of our framework of how we study. So if you did the first part of Revelation, you heard this already. And I'm actually not going to give the whole spiel again, because I realized last night that it's recorded on our podcast. So if you are new to our study, or if you're like me, you think, oh, I need to remember what I'm doing and listen to it again. You can go onto our podcast and you can go all the way to the scroll down till you see the beginning of the Revelation podcast. And the first one is called Revelation Intro. And it explains sort of this whole framework, what we think is true about the Bible. And then because of that, we approach it in certain ways. We ask certain questions. We always think in certain ways whenever we try to study the Bible. So you could listen to that. It's 19 minutes long. I listened to it yesterday, which is super awkward. Like, record yourself talking for 19 minutes and then listen to it. It's so humbling. It's a really good thing. It's a really good thing. Everyone should do it. And then there's a second one that's called Revelation BRI, which is just a short acronym for Background Required Information. And what that one is about is it answers 5 questions that we always like to start with, that I sort of, I put the graphic in that I drew after we dug all that information out, the answers to those questions, we dug out of chapter 1, you know, in the last time when we studied Revelation part 1. And I just sort of put it on a graphic for us, but it's who wrote it, when was it written, to whom, why did they write it, and what's the literary style? Like, what kind of book are we looking at here? Is it poetry? Is it history? Like, what is it? So you can look at that, or you can also listen to that on the podcast if you want a refresher. I just put up here, just so you know, all of our teaching and all of our resources and everything we do, there's 3 places you can find it. First of all, everything is on our website, which is the top address I put there, crossridge.church/wstudy. I think it's in the front of your book too, so you don't even need to write it down. I just realized. I think it's right inside the front cover somewhere. No, that says studies, but I think you can get to it from there. But if you put W study, you get to our page. If you are here tonight, every single person who is in this room, I added you to a group on the Planning Center app. So if you have the Planning Center app, you go into the app, and then at the bottom it says groups. If you click on it, Revelation/Women/Wednesdays will come up. And there's a little tab in there once you go into that group that says resources, and everything is in there also. So you can go back and even listen to the older ones from the first part if you want. And then you can also just find the podcast. So that's just the teaching. Like, if I have extra resources, it's not in there. But just to listen to the teachings, you could just go to CR Women on iTunes or Spotify or whatever your podcasting app is. Okay. I'm just going to say a few things, just because I'm not going to go through the whole how we study or anything. But I just wanted to say a few things. And that is how we approach our study here at Crossridge Women is it's called inductively. And all that means is that instead of grabbing a topic and then looking through the Bible to see what the Bible says about the topic. We just study books and we read through the books and we see what topics or what information the books bring to us, what the text actually teaches us. And we follow kind of, there's a framework you'll see week after week, you'll start to say, oh, we're doing sort of the same thing every week. And that's true because we follow a framework. And here's what it looks like. So we come here together and we have this large group time. We will both have large group, all of us together. We'll do some things. Then we'll do some things in our small group. We will pray together in our small groups. And then when we go away tonight, then you can take your study guide and we'll have like a certain chunk of the scripture and the study guide that we're going to work through. And that is, we call it homework. We do independent study then at home. And then after 2 weeks is over, so 2 weeks from this Wednesday, we come back and we're going to do it all again. We're going to talk about it in a large group. Then we're going to talk about what we studied in our small groups and we'll pray through it. And then we'll go out and I said last time, wash, rinse, repeat. So that's how it goes. I want to say a little bit about homework because sometimes when we hear homework, then that's where we're like, oh dear, like, what did I do? The reason why I'm not talking to you, Gwen, don't say that. The reason why we do this is because, well, the reason why I think it's really important is because I found myself a 34-year-old Christian, had been a Christian, like, I don't know, whatever, since I was 4 or 5, my whole life at the age of 34. And I had a very inconsistent sort of relationship with the Bible. I'd have hot streaks and cold streaks. You know, if you went to camp, summer camp, when you were a teenager, like then you come back and wow, you were on a hot streak for a week, right? And there would be seasons where I was like, oh, I was really reading my Bible. And then all of a sudden, like a long chunk of it where I wasn't. And the Lord did this miraculous thing in my husband and our family's life in 2009. And everything just got turned upside down. And in the process of that, we found ourselves at a school, a mission school, and we were studying the Bible. That is what we were doing. And I was honestly 34 years old and reading through the Bible. And I looked at my husband and said, I had no idea this was one story. I didn't know. And I thought it was all about me too. I had no idea it was this beautiful story about God. And I, from that day, like really from 2009, since I have given the last, whatever that is it 14, 12 years, something? I have just loved to get to know God and grow in intimacy with him through studying and reading the Bible every day. And I have found that it is the one thing that has opened my eyes, like to see God. Like I know him. I do. And I know him because of this time that I spent in his word. And I love him because he's beautiful. And it's a really amazing story. And it's not about me, but I am part of it, which is interesting. And I love to study it with other people in community because I think that's how it should be studied. And especially I love to study it with all of you. And so part of this, that's why we say, you know what? Independent study is important. It's really important for us to come here and study together. It's really important for us to be in God's word and to hear him speak. He says in Hebrews that he spoke through the prophets, then he spoke through Jesus, but he also speaks through his word because we know it is alive with his Holy Spirit, right? So when you approach homework, I just want to tell you a few things about how I structured the book this time. If you find it overwhelming, the very first thing, the very first page of every chapter, if you just look on page 8, it always has this title. It says, The Revelation is Meditation Literature. And we start by just reading through whatever those two chapters are that we are going to be studying for the week. If all you can manage for your independent study is to read those two chapters repetitively or to listen to them on the YouVersion app or whatever, that's amazing. You will actually get a lot of it out of it. When you come, you'll be able to have conversation too. Okay. So reading repetitively, just over and over, that's the first step. So start by doing that. If you can, you can read it every day. If not, like two or three times during the week, whatever you can do. You will get out of your study whatever you put in. That's what we say, right? Then the second page, if you turn over to page 9, I've done things a little bit differently this time. It says it's always has the title, The Revelation is Unified Literature. So there's one thing that we do. After we read it, we just mark certain things. We look for certain things in the text. Things like repeated words and numbers and characters and what it says about God, for example. And we just sort of mark those things, because as we do that, it just helps us to see. And then right after that, I have moved it. So always I've listed the cross references. In Revelation, one of the best things you can do, apart from just reading these crazy chapters as much as you can, is to read the cross references, because lots of the verses are actually not new. Especially the ones that you think are the craziest, they are from somewhere else in the Bible. And so it's really good to read them like somewhere else and say, oh, okay, so the reader, when they got this scroll, they had actually read this before. They'd heard this before. This is not new to them. And you can see some of these scriptures that John uses in Revelation, how they were used in other places in the Old Testament, and it's helpful. And then after that, you get into questions that start out with just sort of you're probably going to just write down exactly what it says in the text. And then increasingly, it just moves to you sort of thinking a little bit more. So with that progression, you might make it that far, right? Lots of our women who've been studying for a long time, they have a way that they do it. They easily get through the 27, 28 questions, whatever it is, in 2 weeks. But it really is what you will get out of this, what you put into it. And two things that we have to say. First of all, if you need to put a big question mark under the question, that means, I don't know, I haven't a clue, big question mark, you can do that and then move on. But don't get stuck. Don't get stuck and stop on a question and just give up. Just move past it and see where you get after that. Sometimes we say, hey, we went back to that the next week. Like we went back and we said, now I do have an answer for that. But the reason why we say this is good is because we value something we call sitting in the unknown. Lots of times when you don't know something, it's really easy to just like toss it away or forget about it or skip over it or walk away. And actually, the struggle for learning and growing in anything sort of requires that moment of dissonance where you're like, I do not know and I don't think I can do it. And sometimes you just have to sit in that and say, okay, Lord, I don't know, and go away from it, do some other questions, come back, but just be okay with the tension of sitting in the unknown. And then come back and then just start again and see how it goes, right? But mostly we always say, ask God to reveal truth because he is the teacher. These questions are not all the questions from Revelation, nor are they the best questions to be asked in order to understand the book. Like, I can't do that. I don't know. In fact, I write it and 2 weeks later, I'm like, oh, I should have asked that question. I should have changed the wording. I always do that. But it is a tool to help us get in to the scriptures and start seeing it in through some of these eyes in the context it was written in and to a certain reader who needed this message at a certain time in history. Okay, any questions before we move on? It's okay. You can ask later if you have one. Or you can ask your group leader. You probably met someone at your table who's sort of the table leader. They'll help ask the questions and they can answer any of your questions that you have too. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Usually when we come, we have done homework and then we're like talking about whatever it was that we studied, but we're just starting fresh and we're going to go out into our independent study from here. So I thought what we all needed, because it's been such a long break, is we needed some sort of review. Like, how do we review the first 11 chapters of Revelation together? What can we do? And if you remember, if you were here in the first part of Revelation, there, in those five questions that we answered at the very beginning, the last question said, what are the themes? Because every book has themes that you find in it. And when we understand the themes, it helps us understand what the author's message was. And I just said, I didn't want to give that to you because I could just give you a list, but I sort of wanted you to find them. And then I said, maybe we'll come back to that. So we're coming back to it now. And I decided that how we're going to sort of refresh our memory and also build a new Bible study skill. Come on in, Sarah. Up here. If you see Jean, come on up. Sorry, right in the front, Sarah. That's, yes, yeah. You can move your chair too so that you're not. But what we're going to do is we are going to, together, we are going to do some theme tracing of Revelation 1 to 11. And all that means is that we're going to look back at Revelation 1 to 11. We're going to say, what are some of the themes in it? And we're going to do a little bit of work in our small groups together to think about, like, why do we care? Okay? Why is this important? Why should we do this? First of all, let's just talk a little bit about themes, because some people say to me, again, not you, Gwen, but sorry. It wasn't Gwen. Some people say to me, well, I'm not an English major, but, and however, I think all human beings, actually, I'm not the only person who thinks this. A lot of anthropologists and philosophers and psychologists and people who study human beings say that we are storied creatures. We learn through stories. We live out of stories that we believe are true. We live into stories that we see and we think, that's a beautiful story, so I'm going to live into that story. And so that's why human beings love movies and theater and things like that. We are storied creatures. And so whether you're watching a movie or you're reading a book or you're seeing a commercial or a meme even on the internet, all of these things have themes. They teach a message. They have a message to teach about something that is important, they would say. And so that's all a theme is, like a central important message. And the Bible is full of them. The Bible has a theme, and it's full of books that each have different themes. Lots of them are the same themes. There are themes that we can see all the way from Genesis to Revelation. So how do we find themes is sort of a question before we do the finding. I was thinking, how do we find themes? Does anyone know how you might find a theme in particular in a book or in the Bible? Or yeah, repetition. I think repetition is the easiest way to find the themes. What are the themes are always repeated, like words or phrases or images or pictures or ideas is always repeated. In some of the books, you can find a theme because the author gives sort of a purpose statement at the beginning. And in most of the letters, the epistles in the New Testament, you can find the themes by looking at the first paragraph and the last paragraph. And usually the themes are repeated through those first, the greeting and the closing. But repetition is one of the easiest ways to find the theme. So here's what we're going to do. I thought we would open up our Bibles back to Revelation 1 to 11. And we are going to try to brainstorm a big list. I will write as you guys think of themes that we saw in Revelation 1 to 11. And just quickly before we say that, maybe I will just say this. Why should we care? How is seeing themes helpful? First of all, I would say what you will I think what you will see tonight, at the end of tonight, and as you study themes in the Bible more, to see themes and the way they are woven through the Bible is actually really amazing. It gives you sort of awe of Scripture. Like, how did all these different authors from all these different times, spanning from Moses to like John in AD 90, how do all of these authors write and actually write about a lot of the same themes? It's remarkable. Just in the fact that, like, looking at it as literature, that is remarkable. But it's not enough to just like really love the Bible. I can geek out about the Bible and it's actually not going to grow my faith or my relationship with Jesus. In fact, like what do we like to say around here? You can have a very marked up Bible and an unmarked heart. And that is not what we're going for. We want to be marked and shaped by the Word of God. So we can see it can give us awe of Scripture, and we can see it as valuable. We can even see it's beautiful. So we're drawn to it. But themes really reveal the heart of God, the character of God. The themes tell us all about who he is and his plan for humanity and creation. And then in that, it reveals a lot about humanity, which means it's a lot about us. So that's why I think it's really important for us to see biblical themes.
This week, as we gathered together, our goal was to review the first part of Revelation. And to do that, we decided to theme trace through chapters 1 to 11. For starters, we brainstormed a huge list of all the themes we saw coming up in those first 11 chapters. And the list was long. We had everything from the call to hear and keep, patient endurance, the lion and the lamb, light, the throne room, worship, heavens and earth, suffering and persecution, and much, much more. Then each small group chose one of those themes, and in their table group, they traced the theme through the first 11 chapters. They wrote down and took note of where they saw that theme emerge and being developed in chapters 1 to 11. From there, they wrote a 2-3 sentence summary of the theme, highlighting what its central message had to teach us. Then we came back together and we shared those theme summaries. And together we talked about where we saw that theme emerge at the beginning of Scripture, back in Genesis or in the garden. And we looked ahead to how that theme was going to culminate at the end of Scripture in Revelation 21 and 22. And finally, we took a little bit of time to ask the question, why does it matter? Why do we need to know about this theme? And in what way does it help grow our faith in God and our intimacy with Christ? What kind of worship or action does it instill in us? Does it cause us to do or to live or to be or to think or to feel? I wish you could have been there to hear our women talk about these themes and just to see them beautifully progress through the whole of Scripture. It is an important skill. And if you have time, maybe you want to sit down and brainstorm the themes that you saw repeated through the first part of Revelation. Choose one of those themes and maybe trace it through chapters 1 to 11. Think about where that theme starts in Genesis and how that theme culminates in Revelation 21 and 22. You can peek ahead for that part. And then think about why it's important for you to know that theme. How does that theme increase your love for God or love for other people? How does it compel you to follow Jesus, to grow in intimacy with him, to trust him more and more? We have a lot to learn from theme tracing, and it's beautiful to see the whole of Scripture as one story and how these themes can help us tell that story in many different ways. Okay, here's the rest of our first night of teaching.
Theme tracing is actually a really awesome thing to do after you've studied a book, and we put it in a lot. Like, I don't remember what it was that we traced. Was it suffering in the end, Heather? I feel like you would remember in the end of 1 Peter, like we went back and traced like the theme of suffering or something. We've done this a bit a few times at the very end of the book, we said, go back and trace through a theme. And you basically just go and put every verse where you see it. You look back and sometimes, like with this one, it might be the word throne, or it might be king, or it might be sovereign or something, or rule or reign, but it all goes with your, and like you guys were doing the call to hear and keep, and quickly you said, well, it doesn't have to be hear and keep. It could be faithful and obedience and covenant and that sort of thing. And you just sort of write all the places that you see it. And then you sort of look and see, how is the theme developed? Where does it start? And what, where does it get to in the end? And then you try to plug that theme back into the whole of Scripture. Where did it actually start in Genesis? And then how do you see it in other places through Scripture? And what's the beautiful fulfillment that always comes in Revelation? So it's actually really helpful. It helps you then understand other books of the Bible too, because like we said, it is one unified story. So it does all tie together. And so many of you were pointing to other places in Scripture where you saw your themes. So, okay. I am just going to end by telling you two very short things about the book of Revelation and one little bit of a longer thing, but not long at all. Just as we go, we're going to get into Revelation 12 and 13 when we go this week. So you can start when you go home, whenever, tomorrow. You can read Revelation 12 and 13 and then just proceed through the pages. They're starting in starting on page 8 in the study guide. First of all, I just wanted to say a few things we talked a lot about last week, just to sort of remind us. In thinking about the original reader that this message was written to, certain people in a certain place at a certain time in history, and we can learn from that, and because we can, it is also a message for us. But I just wanted to encourage you that, I guess I should just be really honest and say, we saw some weird stuff, some crazy stuff in Revelation 1 to 11, and we're going to see more, and maybe some weirder, and probably one of the most awful images that I think is in the second half of the book of Revelation. After studying it, I will show you when we get there that I think it is one of the most beautiful, eye-opening things I've ever seen. And a very, 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 quite a long time ago now, Margot, Kathy's daughter, asked me this really hard question in women's Bible study when we were studying covenant. And I was like, I do not know the answer to that. And it was a super good question, and none of us really knew. And it's sort of an obscure thing. And wouldn't you know it, studying Revelation 18, I know the answer, and I'm going to talk to Margot one Sunday. And it's so bizarre. But actually, when we walk through this really horrific graphic image and we see what the original reader would have seen and understand and heard, from that message and from what they knew of Scripture, I think it's really life-giving instead. But there is some really strange things. And I just want to remind you that the book of Revelation was not written to induce fear, but to bring comfort to people who were really struggling to live in a world that was hard to be a Christian. In a world where it was hard to follow Jesus, they were being persecuted, they were being seduced away from following Jesus, they were being deceived by lies away from the truth, and it was hard to follow the Lamb wherever he went. And this book was written to comfort them and to inspire this patient endurance, to keep following Jesus. Lots of people, when they think about the book of Revelation, they would never say that it was written for comfort. It was written to induce nightmares, maybe. I think it gave me my fair share when I was a kid. But this book was written to comfort the original readers. Second of all, let's talk about the reason it was written. Let's remind ourselves that John's intention was to encourage them and rally these people in these hard times. I kind of just said that. And it was not written to divide them into little factions by throwing out little verses and phrases that they would then build up into really complex theological systems, which is actually what Revelation does nowadays in a lot of God's people, okay, in the church. It can be very divisive. And if you think back to John writing this letter, imagine if John knew the division that this letter could have caused. That is not his intent, right? We could all agree. He would never have intended that. He was intending something very different. So I just want us to keep that in mind as we study, okay? And this is the last thing that's just a little bit longer. Thinking about genre, we said when we first started studying Revelation, it's a very unique genre or literary style in the Bible. It's not poetry. It's not really narrative or history. It is called apocalyptic. Apocalyptic. And apocalyptic is just a fancy Greek word for, which means revealed or unveiled. So we said that the book of Revelation is more of a game of peekaboo, right? Seeing what's behind the curtain, than some complex puzzle book that you have to sort of put together in the right way so it all fits together. It is a picture book. Yeah, it's like a picture. It's more like impressionist painting than a scientific diagram, maybe. And and along with that, then we have to acknowledge that it's difficult. It is difficult. There are lots of difficult passages, but it's not hidden. It's not meant to be like, oh, you can't crack it. It is called the Revelation, which means the unveiling. It's an unveiling. It's letting us see a glimpse into the realest of realities, the truest truth, this vision of Jesus. And I would just say that what is clear in Revelation is of primary significance. And actually, we all agree on what is clear in Revelation. And that is that Jesus is God, that he's the sovereign creator. That really matters. That we all believe that, that he's the Messiah. It matters. It's really important we all believe that, that he is this ancient Son of Man King who was going to save God's people. It's very clear that he loves us, that he came to earth, that he lived, and he died, he was slain. He rose from the dead. He's alive now. He says that to John when John sees him. And he ascended to the right hand of the Father. We see he is on the throne. The Lamb is on the throne with the Father. That really matters. We all can agree on that. That he sent his Holy Spirit, the fullness of himself, the sevenfold Spirit, Revelation calls the Holy Spirit to live in us and be our helper and our comforter and to lead us in truth. It's very clear that he is coming again and that he is going to set all things to right, that he is going to restore creation back to its original intention. And that is humans ruling in this heaven and earth temple space together with God, as God originally created us to do, to further his kingdom and further his creation, the creation mandate. Like, think about that. That doesn't go away in new creation. Sometimes we think, you know, you're just like sitting around and everything. Like, there is so much beautiful creating to do in new creation. I believe that. I think Revelation will teach us that. And yeah, in that moment, there we will be in worship, casting down all of our crowns for eternity. You know, this interesting juxtaposition of ruling with God and yet casting down all our crowns and giving him all glory, honor, and praise forever. Yeah. Now, that being said, those are the really clear things that we all agree, and those pertain to salvation. That is what makes us children of God, that we believe those things are true about Jesus. That is the gospel. There are some things that are unclear in this book. And while they're interesting to some people, I should say interesting to some people because some people do not find them interesting. They don't care. But some people are really interested in them. Okay, fair enough. But they do not pertain to salvation. They're not essential to the gospel. These things don't really matter very much. John actually doesn't talk a lot about them. He maybe says one or two words. It's mostly humans that like to talk a lot of words about it. But these are things we have to say. We have to know right up front, these things don't matter. Okay, when Jesus will come back, doesn't matter. Sort of the specifics of that, ideas of, I don't know, people talk about like a believer's rapture, concepts that you maybe have heard in tied to Revelation, like pre-tribulation or mid-tribulation, post-tribulation, don't matter. Not to the gospel, they don't, not to salvation. Interpretations of certain verses that build doctrines and have terms like premillennial, postmillennial, amillennial, interesting to some, do not matter for salvation. Okay. And whether or not we agree on some of these second or third, or I would say they're not even second or third level, maybe they're fourth or fifth level interpretations, whether or not we agree also doesn't matter. It is not pertinent to salvation that we even need to agree on these things. Okay. But there is something that does matter when it comes to holding different interpretations of these difficult topics. And I have said that when you come to Revelation, all I'm asking you to do is see what the text says. That's what we do because we've always studied inductively. So to do anything else and just to teach you all these ways of looking at Revelation wouldn't necessarily be honest to our process. We want to just look and see what the text says. And what is important, what does matter when it comes to us looking at the text then, and then coming away, some of us will come away with sort of some different ideas and different interpretations. That's okay. What matters is preserving unity in the body of Christ. That's what matters. That even though we have different opinions about some of these things that are not essential to salvation, that we still remain sisters in Christ. Yeah, that we are his people and we belong together. Because we belong to him. You know what? Jesus said it best. This is John 17, verse 20. He's praying for all believers at this time. And he says this, I pray not only for these believers, but also for those who believe in me through their word. May they all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. So that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me, so that they may be made complete, completely one. That the world may know that you sent me and that you have loved them just as you have also loved me. I think as Christians, and I said this lots of times before, but I think it's really important. We have this beautiful opportunity to read and study the book of Revelation, to come away from it and say, maybe some of us will have some few different ideas in the end. After studying the text, we'll come away and say, well, I think maybe this, you know. And yet we can still we can have different opinions and yet we can still preserve unity because our world, our culture cannot do that. If you believe or think differently about something, you cannot remain together. You don't belong together. That's what our world is sort of learning. And you know what? If you have teenagers and kids, this is what they're being taught. They can't belong with other people who hold some different opinions. So we have a beautiful opportunity to model something different, the truth of the gospel that says we can and we will. as we do this. So I just want to invite you back into the second half of Revelation. I'm really thankful that you're going to study with me. Like I said, I like to study in community, and I need you to help me study. So just in closing, I'm just going to read Revelation 1, and then we're going to go. And actually, I'm going to read it tonight from the New Living. I've been reading through Revelation since last, I don't know, February or March or something, February. And so this morning I just grabbed my New Living translation. I love to pull this out when I'm just reading devotionally, and I thought it's fun to hear it in something different. This is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him concerning the events that will happen soon. An angel was sent to God's servant John so that John could share the revelation with God's other servants. John faithfully reported the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, everything he saw. God blesses the one who reads this to the church, and he blesses all who listen to it and obey what it says. For the time is near when these things will happen. This letter is from John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace from the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, from the sevenfold spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead and the commander of all the rulers of the world. All praise to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. He has made us his kingdom and his priests who serve before God his Father. Give to him everlasting glory. He rules forever and ever. Amen. Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the nations of the earth will weep because of him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. I am John, your brother. In Jesus, we are partners in suffering and in the kingdom and in patient endurance. I was exiled to the island of Patmos for preaching the word of God and speaking about Jesus. It was the Lord's day, and I was worshiping in the Spirit, and suddenly I heard a loud voice behind me, a voice that sounded like a trumpet blast, and it said, "Write down what you see and send it to the seven churches." When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstands, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were bright like flames of fire. His feet were as bright as bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was as bright as the sun in all of its brilliance. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, and he said, "Don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I am the living one who died. But look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. Write down what you've seen, both the things that are now happening and the things that will happen later. And this is the meaning of the seven stars you saw in my right hand and the seven gold lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." Jesus is among the lampstands, the churches. As you go, as you study Revelation, don't be afraid. Jesus stands among us in the middle. He is with us. And part of this whole tribulation, persecution, suffering theme that we see, the truth is, he is with us and he is with you. As you study this week, you're going to see that we have a very real enemy in chapter 12 and 13. And as beloved by God, we are actually hated by his enemy. He is making war against us, and he's the reason behind all the chaos of this life. But don't be afraid. God, Jesus Christ, the living God, stands among us. He is among the churches, and he is alive. Do you believe it's true? Yes, thanks be to God. Okay, let me just pray for you, and then you can actually just take some time to pray for each other in your groups before you go. I'm sorry, I took too long. Some of us really have to get away to pick up our youth kids. But if you need someone to pray for you, you can come and I can do that for you tonight, or some of our leaders might be able to stay too. Jesus, that is you, the one standing among the lampstands, Almighty God, all those things that we heard and that we read about tonight. And we fall on our knees and worship because we see that you're beautiful. And we see that you're worthy, but also because you are fearsome. And yet you love us and you stand in the middle. God, give us ears to hear and eyes to see as we open your word. May your spirit just make your words come alive to us. Help them to nourish our soul this week. Holy Spirit, we always have to acknowledge as we go out that we are powerless to even hear and keep any of this apart from you. Thank you that you are the faithful, obedient one, and we can follow in your footsteps as you go. We love you, Lord. Would you just take us away and to our homes and our families safely, and just gather us together again in 2 weeks to continue to be formed together into, people who love and worship you and carry your kingdom wherever we go.
Hey, thanks for studying along. And wherever you are, it's our prayer that as you seek to read and hear and keep this message of the book of Revelation, that you too will experience the blessing that comes from being among those who choose to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Grace and peace. We'll see you again soon.